How New Orleans Saints center Eric McCoy and defensive back C.J. Gardner-Johnson could have helped change the results of Sunday's matchup against the Panthers, and what Tre'Quan Smith's recent contract restructure means for the New Orleans Saints as a familiar face could be hitting the field on Sunday. We've got all that and a little bit of land yap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, Canal Street Chronicles, Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday, free and on all platforms, Locked On Saints. All right, y'all, let's dive right into today's episode. It is our Film Watch Wednesday, so we're breaking down the film. We're going to push WWL to, usually we do WWL Wednesday. We're going to do a WWL Friday in the preview episode. In case you haven't heard, the Caesars Superdome had a portion of the roof catch on fire. So it was a little busy on Tuesday. So everything's fine now with the Caesars Superdome, by the way. They'll have some, you know, quick repairs on all of that. But just the stories just never keep coming for these New Orleans Saints who had, you know, a big loss on Sunday, but you try to take what you can learn from the 26-7 loss to the Carolina Panthers. We know all of the sort of explanations, right? Nine starters out from what you expected to have at the beginning of the season, several coaches unavailable throughout the week, several coaches unavailable on the sideline, all of that. But you still look to try to find places where you can get better. And the big takeaway for me here is that the New Orleans Saints very much missed two pieces of their 2019 draft class, Eric McCoy and C.J. Gardner-Johnson over on the defensive side. So let's start on the offensive side and Eric McCoy, who would have been instrumental in this game. Drew Brees talked about it on the NBC Sunday night football pregame show, where he kind of talked about how the Carolina Panthers have this Matt Rule defense that's very hard to operate against, kind of a college defense is very hard to operate against, pressure coming from all three levels, from everywhere all over the field, and different variations of what that pressure looks like, what those packages look like, where it's all coming from. Watching the tape for the New Orleans Saints and their offense against Carolina's defense, it's painful, y'all. Like, there's a lot of bad just communication issues, mismatches, things like that get taken advantage of. Missed blocks right up the middle of right up the A-gap, which is always going to cause any quarterback any trouble. Overloading one side of the line of scrimmage, lack of communication on slide techniques where you have four offensive linemen sliding one way, you leave a gap in between the other offensive lineman that's blocking on the back end, and then you fill that gap with a running back or a tight end. Some of those, the miscommunication between the running back and the tackle were there. It was just a bit of a mess on the offensive line. And so it's one of the reasons why Eric McCoy would have been instrumental in greater success for this New Orleans Saints offense. And it's an example of how one person changes the complexion of your ability to be able to operate correctly. Eric McCoy has seen this defense before. Now, Matt Rule and what they've done with this defense at the beginning of 2021 is unique, but at least he's had those calls before. He's worked on making those calls, protections, IDs, all that, all throughout the offseason. He made them along with Drew Brees in 2020. So just a little bit more experience would have made all the difference, especially when you don't have the coaches on the sideline in this game. You kind of have to have the coach on the field, if you will. Sorry about that. Kind of have to the coach on the field, if you will. And so a big part of that would have been Eric McCoy being a part of this team and a part of this roster, being out on the field and helping to decipher everything going on from this Carolina Panthers defense that brought a lot of exotic looks and a lot of different confusing packages that were meant to confuse this New Orleans Saints offensive line, particularly knowing the situation that they were in and their inability to be completely prepared for this game. The Panthers absolutely took advantage of what was in front of them. Now, you look over some of the other, you know, tape and everything like that, and Deuce Windham and I talked about this last night on Houdat Confessional. I went ahead and I looked through all of Jameis Winston's throws and everything, and even more than the interceptions, which I think everyone is kind of really focusing on, there were a couple of decisions that weren't great that you don't want to see going into week three. So this is where you start to track and look for improvement as opposed to just like hanging the guy out to dry and saying he's done, bench him and move on to the next quarterback. You wait to see if you can find the improvement. The big, I'm going to switch over to my left hand and try to get rid of this ball instead of getting sacked. little bit too much desperation there. And then the other throw to where he kind of had a defender on top of him and he tried to get rid of it anyway, and then it kind of went sideways. All of that just causes more trouble than is necessary. Just take the sack and move on, because it's going to be intentional grounding anyway, and it results in the same result in that case. But you don't run the risk of an interception or that ball popping out or whatever it might be. So it's just those types of things. Like, if the play's done, the play's done. Protect the ball, get down, live to fight another down. And I think you'll see those improvements from Jameis Winston moving forward, because now that he's done them in game, Sean Payton can look at that, focus on that, and say, okay, here are the things that we can't do moving forward. That becomes the difference in the coaching of Sean Payton and the coaching of Bruce Arians, where Bruce Arians was just like, hey, no risk it, no biscuit. What are you going to do? Sean Payton is mostly going to say, here's what we're going to do moving forward. So I expect to see those things continue to improve. I expect to see this offensive line improve depending upon the decisions that they make moving forward. Is it better to stick with Cesar Ruiz at center because he now has the most experience at center for you? Or do you end up sliding in Austin Ryder, who now has had a week to get his system, two weeks now to get the system under his belt? He was active on game day last week, all of that. So it'll be interesting to see where the Saints go there. It's going to be a big question that I'll be tracking heading into the week 3 matchup against the New England Patriots. So very clear that the Saints missed Eric McCoy on the offensive line. They also missed another member of that 2019 draft class over on the defensive side, defensive back CJ Gardner-Johnson, who had a big assignment ahead of him before last Sunday's game, but unfortunately, because of the injury, wasn't able to get out there. We'll talk about the assignment. We'll talk about how the Saints tried to sort of cover up missing CJ Gardner-Johnson. What went wrong? What happens next? All of it we've got you covered as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And of course, our friends over at betonline.ag are already starting to get you ready for next weekend's game against the New England Patriots. The line now shrinking a little bit. New England now favored -2.5 at home. That line opened at -3. So Vegas making some adjustments based on the bets that are coming in, of course. So with that, if you're feeling good about the New Orleans Saints and their ability to be able to bounce back from this tough loss against Carolina on the road in Boston at Foxborough, then go ahead and check our friends out over at betonline.ag. And don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. That way you get a 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You put $50 down, you get an extra $50. They double you up. And then you have the opportunity to go out there and bet not only on the NFL, but also the MLB. You've also got a bunch of stuff for end of year props that you can get in on. We're end of the year awards. Who's going to have the most passing yards? Who's going to have the most receiving yards? All of that is available to you with our good friends over at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And I want to tell you about this fantastic app called Get Upside. You can get it in the Apple Store or on Google Play. This allows you, if you are driving around, heading back to work, filling up your gas tank every 3 or 4 days or whatever, get yourself some money back. And that's what Get Upside does for you. This is awesome. You end up getting 25 cents per gallon back every time that you fill up. That's it. Nice and simple. No catches, nothing like that. You can even go ahead and have that money sent to your bank account. You can have it sent to your PayPal. You can cash it out in it as an Amazon gift card or other brands. And here's the other part. If you use the promo code touchdown with that promo, with that app, then you end up getting a 25 cent bonus on your first fill up. So the first time you fill up your tank, you're going to get 50 cents back per gallon. Some folks are getting $200, $300 a month back on this because they drive so much. So now you never have to worry about paying for the full price for a tank of gas anymore. You ain't got to worry about all that. So go and check them out. Download the free Get Upside app and use that promo code touchdown so that you can get that 25 cent bonus on top. So 50 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. That's with the promo code touchdown. All right, family, thank you very much again for joining us for another episode of Locked On Saints. We're here for you free and on all platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course on YouTube as well. For those of you that are watching, for those of you that are looking for something to watch, get over to YouTube and search Locked On Saints. Thanks to everybody that's new, everybody that's come through and continues to support. We appreciate you very much. As we continue on with today's episode, I want to talk now about the defensive side of the ball and where the New Orleans Saints were missing CJ Gardner-Johnson. Now, CJ Gardner-Johnson, according to the Fox broadcast, his assignment going into this game was going to be playing a big role in limiting Christian McCaffrey. Now, tall task for anybody. Taller task for a backup will linebacker than maybe one of your starting and most talented defensive backs. CJ Gardner-Johnson, extremely physical at the line of scrimmage and somebody that has the athleticism to keep up with these quick, shifty running backs out of the backfield. struggles with the shiftier, sort of smaller slot receivers a little bit. But the game is different when you're separated by a few yards and you have the opportunity to see what's coming at you as opposed to having to match up with somebody on the line of scrimmage. CJ Gardner-Johnson also has worked on dealing with those shiftier guys off the line of scrimmage all throughout this offseason. So you have to imagine he's gotten better there as well. But when CJ Gardner-Johnson was unavailable for this game, and for the sake of moving forward, I'm just going to call him CJGJ. But because he was unavailable for this game, you ended up having to shift around the way that you played, because you weren't going to put PJ Williams in, who came in place of CJGJ. You weren't going to put PJ Williams with the assignment of matching up with Christian McCaffrey. That's just not going to happen. So you ended up going with the athletic linebacker in the second level that showed you in the preseason that that athleticism can be usable in guarding tight ends, guarding running backs out the backfield, and of course, stopping boot action. But of course, this is Christian McCaffrey. So it's a little bit of a different, right? It's just a little bit of a different assignment, a little bit of a different task here. So you saw the Saints start this game with a lot of middle of the field open, too high safety, keeping some linebackers down to be able to match up with Christian McCaffrey, mostly Zach Bond. By the end of the game, you saw a lot more man coverage from the Saints defense. In fact, they shifted to mostly man coverage, starting with just the second drive of this game. Then they lived in man, and then they kind of sprinkled in some zone as they went along and got a little bit more comfortable. But when they went back to zone, you saw a lot more matchups between Christian McCaffrey and DeMario Davis than you saw between Christian McCaffrey and Zach Bond. And that is where the passing game version of Christian McCaffrey sort of faded away throughout the game. Now, he still made a couple of plays here and there, but it wasn't as constant as what you saw over the first couple of drives when they were consistently targeting Zach Bond. So they moved a lot of Zach Bond's coverage responsibilities to tight ends or patrolling the middle of the field, keeping it, you know, keeping the quarterback in front of him, keeping him in zone, things like that. Meanwhile, they did a lot of the more man-to-man coverage situations with athletic tight ends or with Christian McCaffrey out the backfield with DeMario Davis. The other thing that they did was that they used the defensive ends to slow Christian McCaffrey anytime that he was coming out of the backfield, chipping on to him, making sure that they got a hold of him, things like that. This was another thing that Deuce and I talked about on Houdat Confessional on Tuesday night, is there was a play with Carl Granderson who beat the right tackle or left tackle in this game. He had a step on him. He had a pretty good opportunity to hopefully catch the edge, get some bend there, which Carl Granderson does well, and maybe get some pressure on Sam Darnold. But instead of taking that, he saw off of the play action, Christian McCaffrey leaking out to his side. So he changed his trajectory. He didn't take the bend. Instead, he widened his pursuit and then made sure that he made contact with Christian McCaffrey. That pass then led, or that play that he made then ended up leading to Sam Darnold hurriedly, because he ended up getting pressure from the opposite side of the field, throwing a low pass to DJ Moore that was incomplete. So you see how, you know, the Saints really adjusted to try to take Christian McCaffrey out of the game and then make Sam Darnold look elsewhere. But CJ Gardner-Johnson, or CJGJ, as I promised I would call him moving forward, was somebody that would have been an integral part in slowing down and limiting Christian McCaffrey from the very beginning. It's a very different situation when you have an athletic defensive back who is strong enough, quick enough, fast enough, smart enough to match up with that running back out of the backfield than a backup will linebacker who's still learning his position. Massively different situation. Now, CJ did mention on Twitter, oh, looks like y'all missed me already, so I'm going to be coming back real soon. So it seems that he is willing to bet that he'll be back on the field this weekend. We'll see if he is. But regardless, you missed him in this game against the Carolina Panthers. We talked about how well the Saints looked like they nailed at least two of their draft picks in Peyton Turner and Paulson Adebo earlier this week in another episode. It was yesterday's episode, Tuesday's episode. But now it's funny to kind of look back and say, oh, well, the Saints also nailed that 2019 draft class, even though only three of those five players are still on the roster, the third being Cade Nellis. The two that weren't available for the Saints in Eric McCoy and CJ, they were a big, big factor in how the Saints performed or didn't perform in certain situations on Sunday. So the Saints continue to draft players that become very meaningful to their meaningful to their system, meaningful to their execution, meaningful to this team that we're used to seeing so polished. And of course, the Saints took a bunch of hits this year at the depth positions. You saw that all play out right in front of you on Sunday. So as long as the Saints can continue to hit these draft classes, I think they're going to be okay in the sort of the future projections of them, as long as they make the wisest decisions over at the quarterback position as they move forward. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit, though, about reinforcements coming in. A familiar face could be returning to the lineup this weekend, and we got our first identifier that that might be on the way with the restructuring of a wide receiver contract. We'll talk about how all of this folds in and how all of this relates and what it could mean for the Saints on Sunday up against the Patriots. Before we get to it, though, want to talk to you about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one TV playing the game. You're checking your highlights on your phone. You've got another device for your movies. You got another device and somebody else's login for all the good stuff. It's all kinds of crazy. You're juggling different devices, scheduling times with people that you haven't seen in years. You're scheduling times with people that you have seen in years, making sure that you don't have two devices on at the same time. It's all too much. It's all too complicated. Go ahead, simplify the process and get all of your TV together with DirecTV Stream, which allows you to seamlessly, and this is a fact because I use it, seamlessly transition from live sports to your favorite TV shows, to your favorite movies, without all of the hassle of having to switch from one remote to the other, turn something else on, switch TV inputs. You don't have to worry about all that. Everything all in the same place with DirecTV Stream. If you want more information on it, and I know you do, head over to DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. The best part about all of this is that there's no annual contracts at all. So go and check them out. Compatible devices required and content varies by package. And of course, while you're enjoying your television, you can be snacking on the best tasting protein bar on the planet with BuiltBar.com. Just released their new cookie dough chunk for a limited time only. So go and check them out. These limited time flavors always go quickly, so don't miss it. BuiltBar.com. You can get in with that, or you can get in with all of the 9 usual flavors that they have on the website of all these incredible flavors where they have something for everybody. You like chocolate and coconut, you like Mounds and Almond Joy candy bars. You've got a coconut and coconut almond flavor ready for you, covered in 100% chocolate. It's absolutely delicious. Not a fan of coconut, no big deal. You got the sweets, as I like to call them, with cookies and cream, mint chocolate. You've also got peanut butter brownies, salted caramel. You like fruit and chocolate. You got raspberry, strawberry, orange, a whole bunch going for you all across the website there at BuiltBar.com and all their other incredible products as well. So go and check them out. And don't forget to go ahead and grab yourself a sample box. This is my recommendation. That way you get 2 of each of those 9 regular flavors there. So you get to try a little bit of everything. Then you can come back in and do a build your own box where you can get up to 18 bars of one flavor, or you can vary it up and get 3 different flavors throughout all of that as well. So go and check them out. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, so you can get 15% off of your order at BuiltBar.com. Doesn't matter if it's your first order or your next order. Just go ahead and get yourself the protein bars that you need. The promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's get it, Hoodat Nation. Wrap it up today's episode with a quick look at a familiar face that might be returning to the New Orleans Saints. Real quick, I talked about the NFL draft, and I should also let you know that our Locked On NFL Draft show is back. Eric Crocker, Ryan Tracy, you can get it wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. Great conversation amongst these guys. Eric Crocker, former NFL defensive back. I mean, you don't get more inside than that. So go and check it out. Sorry, I should have shouted them out when I had the chance, but here we go. I'm going to take the chance now. I want to talk a little bit about the New Orleans Saints getting a familiar face back this Sunday. It could happen that Kenny Stills could be active this weekend. He was not active in Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers. He was still on the practice squad. There were just kind of needs elsewhere that necessitated more attention. You were down a bunch on your secondary, down a bunch in your linebacker position. Because remember, not only was Quan Alexander out, so was Chase Hansen and so was Pete Werner, right? So you just didn't have those numbers. You didn't have the numbers on the offensive line or the defensive line. Hopefully, Tonto Passanio is back. So lots of injuries when the injury report comes out later today that we'll be keeping an eye out on and hopefully seeing some better results than the 7 or 8 different names that we saw throughout the week last week. But hopefully what the New Orleans Saints are also able to do is add another wide receiver that has some separation ability, in particular has some speed, all of that, to their roster on Sunday. Now, they might not elevate him into the active roster. It might just be a standard game day elevation, so we'll have to wait and potentially see what happens there, but something to keep an eye out on. One of the things that gives you the inkling that this might happen, that he might actually just be elevated to the active roster all told, is because according to Field Yates of ESPN, yesterday the New Orleans Saints restructured Tre'Quan Smith's contract. They took about $1.2 million from his base salary and converted it into a signing bonus, saving just over $950,000, just under $1 million, basically. Now, if you go and check out Kenny Stills' game day paychecks right now, his total contract is around $230,000 because he's on the practice squad. So once he gets elevated there, you should have more than enough, because that number will go up. You still have more than enough with that $1 million of cap space the Saints just saved to be able to bring Kenny Stills onto your active roster and actually carry him if you wanted to. Wouldn't be surprised to see them do something similar to that with Austin Ryder as well, if they haven't already moved him up to the active roster. But the New Orleans Saints need some help at the wide receiver spot. They need some help on the offensive line. Wouldn't surprise me if they don't elevate anyone to the active roster from the practice squad. Instead, they go the game day elevation route, where they can effectively make two players from the practice squad active just for game day. Austin Ryder and Kenny Stills, very likely to be those guys, as long as you have the health back at linebacker, at corner, and on the defensive line to some capacity. You get one player back at each of those spots, and then all of a sudden you're in a much better position. So look for the potential of a familiar face returning to the New Orleans Saints lineup with Kenny Stills, who of course the Saints drafted back in 2013 before he ended up being sent to Miami before the 2015 season. A couple of injuries we're going to keep an eye out on that will help us kind of get a good gauge of this as we get closer to Saturday, and then Sunday, of course, being game day, but Saturday where they have to make those elevations, would be watching to see if Tono Passanio, as we mentioned earlier, returns to the lineup. Marcus Davenport, you already know, is on injured reserve, so Tono Passanio is really the name that you're keeping an eye out on. On the linebacker spot, you're looking to see if Chase Hansen and Pete Werner can get back in, so that you have the depth there at linebacker and don't have to make another move for like a Wynton McManus, for instance, or anything like that. And then on the cornerback spot in particular in the secondary, you're looking to see if Marshon Lattimore and C.J. Gardner-Johnson are going to be back. We talked about how important C.J. Gardner-Johnson could have been to last Sunday's game, so obviously you want him back for this Sunday's. But of course, Marshon Lattimore, your top corner, should hopefully be on his way back. He had that surgery last week and then was questionable after two limited practices at the end of last week for last Sunday's game. So it seems that if that trend continues, that maybe he'll be limited all week this week and then still questionable at the end of the week on Friday with the game designation. But it feels likely that unless there are any type of setbacks or complications recovering from the surgery on his thumb, that he should potentially be available for the Saints on Sunday. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but you look at Trey Lance, who had a similar injury before the season on his throwing hand, missed a week, and then was available for the week one game through a touchdown in his first appearance and his first snap as well. So you look at that from the quarterback perspective as basically being a two-week process. I think you can reasonably expect that to be the same for Marshon Lattimore coming back in, who actually already played with the injury and his hand casts it up anyway. So we'll see exactly what happens along the defensive side and how that the injuries on the defensive side, which were plentiful last week, and how that impacts New Orleans Saints' ability to add some dynamics with Kenny Stills and then potentially Austin Ryder, who could go back to center, and then you can move Cesar Ruiz back to right guard. We'll see what happens there, but it gives you the opportunity to add what you need on the offensive side if you're not dealing with all the injuries on the defensive side. So we'll keep an eye out on that injury report as it comes out later today. We'll talk about it a little bit more with Mike DeBate tomorrow on our Crossover Thursday episode. And then on Friday, we'll hit our final preview. We'll get some input from our friends over at WWL TV as well. Get you all the keys to victory on the offensive and defensive sides, like we do every single Friday before a matchup. Might even do an extra Saturday episode this week because this game is so intriguing going in based upon what happened last weekend. So I appreciate you as always, y'all, for being here. Remember that we're here with you every single Monday through Friday, free and on all platforms. Thank you so much for making me your first listen today. Now for your second listen, head over to Locked On Bets and win yourself some money. You got the schedule for the rest of the week. For everything in between, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.